Verulam Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast.
Hello and welcome again to Verulam Sport Podcasting. And it's been, I think, fair to say, a challenging 8 days for Watford Football Club. No win in 12 in all competitions now, just 6 points, means that they are still just hovering above the relegation zone. That could change today, though, with many teams challenging. I think Liverpool take on Bournemouth, and that could be an interesting one. To unpack it all, I'm sure we'll find some silver linings. Again, they are above the relegation zone, at the least at the moment. We are lucky, as always, to be joined on the line by the head of communications for Watford Football Club, Richard Walker. How are you, Richard?
All right, Tony. Yeah, not too bad. How you doing?
Doing very well indeed. Always a pleasure to appreciate your time and company. And as I say, plenty to unpack. Last time we spoke, we were building up to Southampton game. So let's whip back in time to that fixture. We were optimistic. Again, Southampton were in a reasonably safe position. We thought Watford would be well up for this one. And I tell you what, I think maybe the early goal, a bit of a worldie from Ings, who gained two in the game, moving up to second top scorer in the Premier League with 18. And that first one was a bit special after a mazy run. I think it kind of really influenced the game. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, including the fact that we didn't start the match. We were nervous, we were too deep, we gave them too much time to play. All of these things have been acknowledged by manager and some of the players, and it was a bad day at the office, really bad day at the office for us, all of which has been said, so I'm not going to dwell on it for too long, other than to say that I know that some tough conversations were had in the week, and I think the players went about showing that the spirit was very much alive at Chelsea last night, so I think it just needs to bit of perspective putting on that it really can be quite tough to deal with the situation, but that's where we are and that's what the guys have got to do in the coming 5 games.
Yeah, we always praise the Watford spirit, and I'm sure that will come to the fore. It's going to need to. As you say, don't necessarily want to dwell on that Southampton defeat, but just coming back to it, would the fact that zero shots on target maybe one of the biggest negatives out of that fixture? Quite simply, if you're not putting the ball in the game, you're not going to score. It's as simple as that, I suppose.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, and that's something the guys were acutely aware of. But I think it's easy for 90 minutes to pass by. If you don't start well, it's easy for 90 minutes to pass by without a shot on target because you're in that position where you're kind of on the back foot all the time. And there wasn't really a period of 10 or 15 minutes where there normally is in a match where one of the two teams has a sort of spell of dominance, locks another team into their own half. We never really had that. The game was very open all the time and that suited Southampton's quicker players.
Credit to the Saints of Southampton. That was their 8th win of the campaign on the road, a record for them. And then you obviously, as you alluded to, again, spirit showed, but another defeat against Chelsea themselves. They were under pressure. They had slipped out of the crucial top four after a midweek defeat to West Ham. It looked to me, though, that they were really up for this match. And again, it's one of those teams that have a bit of an Indian sign over the Hornets. That's their 4th straight win over Watford. It looked to me like Barkley was immense on Saturday.
Yeah, he certainly had a good game. Yeah, I don't know about immense. I didn't get the impression that any one individual was really much better than another. I didn't get that impression. I thought they just generally man for man have a bit better quality than Watford, but I don't think there was any lack of spirit or lack of trying. I have to be honest with you. I was at the stadium and I definitely detected the fact that a few wrongs had been put right from the Southampton match.
Yeah, energy and commitment was there. I mean, you know, some facts and stats are almost nebulous, but it is the case that to a man, Watford ran almost 5 kilometres more than the Blues' counterparts. So application cannot be faulted. But we've addressed it, haven't we, Richard? We're looking at a target of 37 we think should be there or thereabouts for survival. That needs, 9 more points. So it's going to be challenging. We'll no doubt build to the Norwich match. But time is running out.
Pearson, yeah, I'm not sure we're going to need that many points. Because that kind of factors in clubs below winning matches. And as you said in your introduction, despite the fact we've only taken 1 point from 4 matches since restart, we're still not in the bottom three. Now, yeah, we might be if Aston Villa produce a miracle and beat Liverpool at Anfield today. Yeah, we might be. I get that. But the point is that I think with 5 games to go, as it will be after the games of this match week are completed, we might find that, in fact, 2 more wins, 6 more points may be sufficient, because that would then force one of those sides to win 3 more games because we hold a point advantage.
So, do you know what I find quite interesting, Richard? And I'd like your take on this. Obviously, it's very easy to pick apart the recent form. I think now we just need to focus in on the remaining fixtures. But what I find interesting is that of the 6 points that Watford have accrued in recent times, 4 of those have come against teams in the top 4 in the Champions League situations. So that suggests that the ability of Watford to compete with the best in the league is eminently there. They just, I guess, need to crystallise that and apply that and make it so on Wednesday.
Yep, it is there. There's definitely quality in the squad. I think what happened is that confidence took such a bashing with an awful start to the campaign. I seem to remember speaking in the autumn and we were still waiting for our first win until October, weren't we? So it's been an awful long time to get that first win on the board. And that erodes, I think there's a sort of maybe a base layer of confidence that sort of chips away at over time. And it's been hard to build that back up again. I do think, and this is not an excuse, it's just my take on it, having been at the games with no supporters there, I do think that our team is suffering more than most from not having fans at home. And you picture the scene, regardless of having lost at Palace in that last match before lockdown, that was an away game. We beat Liverpool at home. Imagine walking out of the tunnel for that Leicester game. I mean, with all the supporters that had been there the previous time, having beaten Liverpool at home, that's just a different feeling totally. And I do think that, given the fact that confidence had been rocked earlier in the season, that the crowd had a really important part to play for Watford in these final games. Whereas take a team like Newcastle, where their home crowd get a bit whiny, and I think they're loving life. They're playing in a really carefree spirit because they haven't got people on their back at the minute. I do think there are little nuances like that. That make a little bit of a difference. So it's not an excuse. It's just a little sort of, you know, it's those little 1% and 2% that all can add up.
No, I think it's a wonderful point. We've alluded to it many times over the years, Richard. One of the beautiful emblems, qualities, traits of Watford is this phenomenal community relationship, which goes both ways with the fans and the core of the community at a larger scale. And taking that out, that kind of passion that players do feed off. And I think you make a wonderful kind of juxtaposition with Newcastle, as you say, with those 60,000 odd baying fans who often are inclined to express their frustrations. Is a very interesting dynamic. Interestingly enough, of course, you will face Newcastle pretty soon. But let's build up now to a massive fixture. Midweek, Watford's Norwich. Surely this is one that has to be targeted for a win. I mean, we talk confidence, don't we? Norwich are the only team in the Premier League without so much as a point since we've returned. No wins in 5 consecutive defeats. Surely they are looking doomed. Now, this is a moment, really, I granted, against or at Stadia Vicarage Road with no fans, where the team need to convert all those theories into a true reality. It's got to be a three-pointer, I would say, midweek.
That sounds like a team talk you've just delivered there. I shall record that and play it in. There's no option now, Tony. The lads have left themselves with no option. You can't foresee a situation where we don't have to win another match to stay up. That would be crazy. That would need Aston Villa and Bournemouth to lose all of their five remaining games. Well, let's be honest, that's pretty unrealistic. So let's presume they're going to win at least one of them. It's going to require us to win a couple. As I said, if you add 6 points onto our 28, you get 34. That's 7 ahead of Villa and Bournemouth. That forces one of them to win 3 out of their last 5 games. Now, I don't believe they're going to do that. So I don't believe either of them are going to do that. So it falls upon us to get these 2 wins, and no better opportunity than Norwich and then Newcastle. And then we go to West Ham away before Man City at home and Arsenal away. We really need to get this wrapped up by the time we leave the London Stadium on Friday the 17th of July. And it needs to start on Tuesday. There's no doubt about it. And there's no real point trying to add too much colour. It's pretty straight. We haven't won a match since we started, and we need to win, in my opinion, at least 2.
Yeah, I think that will be echoed by all the fans. And I'm sure Pearson Shakespeare is impressing that onto the players. But of course, there is sometimes a danger when players become hyper aware of that. That almost makes them desperate. It's a tough balancing act, isn't it, to just kind of get in flow and play relaxed with so much pressure on their heads. But I guess that applies to so many other teams around the league. Hence,
yeah.
Whilst Watford, despite this slightly negative run, remain at present above the relegation zone.
Yeah, I think playing when you're in the bottom three and when you're not in the bottom three are two different things entirely. And I've watched Aston Villa and Bournemouth play, and they've got their own challenges born of a lack of confidence as well. So it's someone said to me a few weeks ago an analogy about running away from a bear. And you don't need to be quicker than the bear. You just need to be quicker than 3 other people who are also running away from the bear. And I really like that.
I can see that as a T-shirt.
Let's presume Norwich have already been eaten by the bear. Therefore,
yep.
We need to be quicker than 2 others running away from the bear.
It's, as they say, I love it. It's historically and cliche-wise known as a dog fight. It's now known as a bear run, to this season.
It's a bear chase, escaping from the bear. Presumably that once the bear has eaten 3 victims, he is satiated. That's, I assume, how the theory goes, and that we'll then be safe. But it is that, you know, if you want to boil it down and say, well, you don't have to be amazing, you've just got to be better than 3 other strugglers. Let's rule Norwich out as dead and buried. Mm-hmm. We'd have to probably win 4 out of 5. And we've just got to do better than Villa and Bournemouth. Better than Villa and Bournemouth?
Resonating with me, and I'm sure that will be sentiments in being impressed. Again, that slightly makes this mindset differently, doesn't it? But I tell you what, I thought Pearson used a brilliant word in his post-match analysis of the Chelsea defeat, in which he used the word brave. They say, don't they, fortune favours the brave. He says the players need to want to have the ball. And that kind of bravery is certainly something that I think needs to be the theme of this bear sprint.
It does. Courage, bravery, spirit, fight, determination. All things I saw at some points at Stamford Bridge last night, particularly in the second half when some substitutes were introduced. And I didn't see any lack of effort last night at all.
You mentioned that. I thought Welbeck added a flavour. Couldn't quite get a goal.
No, it's excellent. He was really good. Really enjoyed his performance. Made a massive case to start. But he showed glimpses of why he's got 40-odd England caps and played for Arsenal and Man United. Great movement, really incisive, and against a less solid opponent, I think he'll get on the score sheet.
Would love that to happen in midweek against Norwich. Again, you're dead right. They are looking pretty much doomed, bar the fighting. That's not the case, of course, for Watford, who need to fight in what we're now referring to as the bear sprint. Richard, you always put a massive smile on my face. I love your analysis. It's going to be tough and challenging, but again, that is what sometimes brings out the best in us. I'm sure that's going to happen. Yeah. Watford, I'm going to go for a 2-0 victory at Vicarage Road midweek.
I think this could be 3-1.
We're both feeling optimistic, as we tend to, but I think there's more than enough rationale behind that confidence. Time will tell. Richard, for me today, in our time together, thank you. Always, it's much appreciated. Always, from myself personally, the whole team here at Verulam Sport Podcasting, sending our best thoughts and wishes to everybody at Watford Football Club. I look forward to chatting with you again very soon.
Cheers, Tony.